What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, March 6th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, Gary Witta.
Hello.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
I don't like you taking a week off.
I missed it last week, I must say.
Not a fan of it.
I was very aware, like, I was down in L.A., as you know, I was working.
Yeah, so you're working real hard. You're in some luxury mansion, as usual.
I was balling in a luxury mansion in Beverly Hills. $9 million house in Beverly Hills, right? They put me up there.
Must be nice working on...
Secret Projects.
The Rock's biopic. Captain Something.
No, it was good, but when 10 o'clock on Wednesday rolled around, I was very aware of the fact that I was there and not here.
Right.
And I kind of missed it. I felt like this is where I belong.
It is.
At Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And when I'm not here,
it all goes to shit.
Who was here last week?
Who the fuck knows?
Who cares, right?
Exactly. I don't know.
Not me. Who cares? I can't
tell you who was on the show yesterday, let alone who was here a week ago.
It's just not the same without me, is it?
It isn't.
I'm back. I'm rested.
Yeah.
I'm refreshed. I'm ready with hot takes.
Perfect. Yeah. That's what I want to hear. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can go there and support us, of course. Get the show ad-free. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune into twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Watch us record it live. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody listening later on podcast services and everybody watching on roosterteeth.com and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames around the globe.
Oh, people
the printer
watch
works.
People
the
watch this on Rooster Teeth as well now?
Yeah, that happened while you're gone. We started uploading our content over there.
Oh, cool.
Very cool.
Reaching even more people now.
Exactly. We're not going to stop until we have at least 300,000 YouTube subs. Then we'll probably stop.
All right.
You know what I mean? That's just the goal, I think it goes from. Today, we're going to talk about a discless Xbox One, Mortal Kombat adding some new characters, and I will take some Days Gone questions because the Days Gone embargo is up, it turns
out. That's a new feature, too, you announced in the headlines at the top
of the show.
That's
a Fran thing.
I got away for
1 week
and lots of things happened.
I think this happened 2 weeks ago, though. I think you just slept through your last Widow Wednesday. You know what I mean?
I mean, wouldn't be the first time.
Housekeeping for you, Kansas City, the Kinda Funny World Tour is coming to you March 30th. You can hang out with us for free at our After Hours World Tour meet and greet at the Flying Saucer Draft Emporium. However, if you want to go the extra mile and come see us do some panels at Planet Comic Con, watch Nick Scarpino interview Henry Winkler. Watch Greg Miller interview Mick Foley and, then in a different panel, Dean Cain, Tom Welling, and Michael Rosenbaum about Superman. You should pick up your Planet Comic-Con ticket. All these details, including the free meet and greet, are up on kindoffunny.com/events. Also worth pointing out, don't forget New York. We're coming for you the next weekend in April. So it's like Kansas City one weekend, New York the next weekend. Strap on. It's happening. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, Tom Bach, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Brooklyn Inn and Headspace, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's start the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, we're picking up a thread that got dropped as breaking news yesterday. Is a discless Xbox One coming in April? This is Jez Corden over at WindowsCentral.com. First detailed by Brad Sams of Throt.com, Microsoft has been experimenting with a discless Xbox One S console codenamed Xbox Maverick with a launch window thought to be around Q1 2019. According to our sources, we now know a little bit more about the timing and marketing name of this intriguing new console. Microsoft is reportedly set to call the discless Maverick console the Xbox One S All Digital Edition, with pre-orders aiming for mid-April 2019, with a general availability coming in early May 2019. It looks as though it could be a near-global simultaneous launch for almost all existing Xbox markets. In addition to the discless Xbox One S All Digital Edition, we've heard Microsoft may be gearing up to announce a Fortnite Edition console with a custom Fortnite design rather than a simple game bundle. It's unclear whether the Fortnite console would be a regular S and X or a discless version at this time, but we'll keep you posted as soon as we know more. Gary Witta, a discless Xbox One. What do you think?
I think it's an interesting move. I think it's the way that, you know, we're going. I'm not necessarily typical. I'd be interested to know how the numbers break down, but I very rarely buy games on disc anymore. I prefer to download them.
Me too.
If only because it's easier to switch back and forth between them without having to get up and swap discs.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see how much of a market there is for it. I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, once you take the Blu-ray drive out, you know, your hardware cost becomes cheaper. Presumably this will be. What do you think the price point for this thing will be?
That's where it gets interesting, right? I'm going to crack my knuckles right now. Do you know how much an Xbox One S is right now?
Isn't it 249? Something like that?
For the S still?
I don't know.
Right now, Walmart, I can get a 1 terabyte S1 white for $206.
Okay.
Best Buy for $299. Microsoft Store... No, that's right. Well, maybe it's a Division bundle. Microsoft Store, a 500 gigabyte Xbox One console for $250. So you see, this is where it gets really confusing. Well,
the official Microsoft price for the base model is $250.
So what gag is Walmart running over here where they're giving me $50
bucks
off?
You always get a deal on something, don't you?
Here, shop Xbox One S. I click on this button. It's just the bundles that gets you. You know what I mean? And then there's a limited time offer.
I think the base price is $249.
Okay. Well, here's bundle. Just give me the damn console. There's a 2-controller bundle for $300. It looks like $250 is going to be
right.
If I can.
So, what do you think for
this
one? $199, maybe.
I mean, that's the.
How low do you think they could go?
That's a great question, and that is the big question. I think is if you're doing, let's just say $250, even though it looks like down here there's this starter pack bundle. What are you talking about, Xbox? Oh, that comes with that Game Pass. Whatever. I mean, if you can get it to $150, right?
That's real.
Is that
low.
Insane? Is that insane? You think?
How much
do you think we're saving by ditching the disc drive?
What do I know about hardware components? But
great point.
My guess is.
What do you know about most things?
My guess is $199 is what it'll come in at. $149 sounds a little bit low.
But that's the point, right? You want it to be too good to be true. You want this to be. But here's the thought process behind it. You assume. Xbox One S, 1 terabyte, discontinued, $200.
Okay.
Xbox Anthem bundle, $250. Creators bundle, $225. There's no, you know what I mean? They don't know. Nobody knows. Here we go. Hold on. Sponsored. Xbox One, 1 terabyte with a controller, $260. We're just saying $250. We're calling a spade a spade.
Let's call it $250. I think you take the Blu-ray drive out. I think they still want to have some kind of margin. My guess is $199. $179? I think
$150 sounds crazy, and that's what they want to do, right? Because they're building. I want to bring in some questions.
Well, we talked the last time I was on the show. We talked about how because Microsoft is playing catch up, they got to make some aggressive moves. Uh-huh. That would be an aggressive move.
Very much so. Brian Scolo, aka Mr. Robot, Mr. B. It's Brian. Brian writes in and says, "Hello, Greg, and happy motherfucking Widow Wednesday." Hi, Gary. With the recent rumor leak of the Xbox Maverick, I am definitely intrigued by all the digital cheaper Xbox to complement my PlayStation 4 and Switch. This leads me to my question for you. What does cheaper mean to Microsoft? Will we see hard drive variations of this box? Will it be several different storage sizes, or will we see a box that lets you put your own storage in, much like the Switch? Either way, it seems interesting, and I look forward to seeing how this pans out. I think you're going to get, correct me if I'm wrong, Barrett, and kind of, Barrett, you keep working over there. Kick your feet up. Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. Xbox is pretty much from the start have always allowed external drives to back stuff up and put your games on and all that jazz, right? Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. I'm looking at that. I think what this will be for simplicity's sake is here's the Xbox One S all day. What's, I already screwed up the title.
The other thing that's not mentioned here is what the size of the hard drive will be.
Well, that's what he's
asking.
Which
is perhaps more interesting if that's all you've got. So...
I think they're gonna say, "Hey, we have the Xbox One S all digital edition in there as one SKU."
I think it'll
be a terabyte.
I think they'll go well. Again, I don't think it'll be a terabyte at $149 like you're saying. I think that
memory's so cheap. Come on, how many USB drives we got floating around this office? People throw at us.
Maybe hard drive prices are getting cheaper all the time. Maybe it's a terabyte. I think that you want again if all you've got is digital and there's no disk drive, you probably want a terabyte. What's interesting
figure right now looking at Xbox.com and they're smattering here of Xbox One S consoles I could buy, right? There is nothing less than a terabyte. It's just 1 terabyte. All these are 1 terabyte bundles.
Right. I don't think they do the 500 gig SKU anymore. So maybe it is a terabyte. Maybe it's a terabyte. $199, $179, $149. It's going to be somewhere in that range. The interesting question for me is as we're looking at as we're definitely in kind of a transition point here where physical media is increasingly going away. I don't know. Are there any real numbers? Is there any data out there that, you know, let's say when Red Dead Redemption comes out or Call of Duty 4, like a big game. I mean, obviously the publishers have this data and the likes of Xbox and Sony have this data. The question is, do we know it? What's the breakdown between the percentage of physical sales versus digital sales? Do we have any idea?
Yeah, every we get those updates, and every year, you know, digital starts creeping up and creeping up and creeping up.
Right.
So it's consistently becoming a bigger thing. A few things from You Are Wrong right now. Nanobiologist confirms what I was saying. An Xbox One S 1 terabyte is $206 on Amazon right now. But that's the one that says discontinued, so that's not a SKU they're really doing anymore.
Right.
Zach says the original Thorat article references Microsoft is aiming to try to get this to $200 or lower.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, it'd have to be. Otherwise, what's the point? You might as well just get one with the disc drives. Sure, of course. Much more expensive.
Nanobiologist says the cost of Blu-ray drives, Amazon is showing external Blu-ray drives to be about $100 one right now. $100. So internal ones might be cheaper. And then everybody confirms that I was right. Yeah, Xbox One does allow external storage. It has since June or whatever. You just have to reformat it when you get it.
Am I right in thinking, is this the first major game? Would this now be the first major game console to ship without a disc drive to be completely digital?
Okay, Gary.
What?
It was called the PSP Go. All right.
No.
It was called the PSP Go. It was ahead of its time, and you fucking cowards didn't support it. And that's why it got fucking buried. It was a great gaming system.
I don't even remember. There was a PSP Go?
Fuck you. Yeah, you remember this? It was a little one that slid up, and you did this, and it was awesome. It was awesome.
No. It was fucking cool.
Are you sure you didn't just dream that?
I got two at home right now, and I'm not joking. They are not charged for their
Maybe the Ouya? That was all
digital,
right?
To your point, this would be the first major of the big three, for sure. I mean, in being like, this is how we're doing it.
Do not have any kind of physical media supported
at
all.
But here's the thing is, I think it's what we said, what we've been saying and what we continue to talk about is Microsoft, first off, is publicly doing certain things, and then privately, it seems like from rumors and speculation, doing other things. I still think they are putting all the pieces on the board very quietly to come out and fucking storm the castle when it comes for the next generation or gamers' hearts and minds. And I really do feel Brian here is hitting it on the head, right? Of like, oh man, I'm really interested in Xbox One to complement my PS4 and Switch. So if they can come out and be like, yep, it's $150. You know what I mean? It's dirt cheap. It's
cheap enough to become like an impulse buy.
Exactly. You're like, what do I care? Sure, I'll get it. And then I think that sets them up, of course, for when they do bring out Xbox Scarlet, and it is a streaming program, and it can play on an Xbox One S all digital edition. It won't be great. You should probably get the Xbox Scarlet all digital edition. It'll be a little bit better because of the components or whatever. But when you start really lining it up and Xbox Game Pass, I'm sure it'll be bundled in at least for a month on this.
I do think this is a significant, it sounds like just another SKU, but I do think it actually is a fairly interesting and significant step towards the all digital future. In the future when the history of video games is written, and we talk about this period when, you know, eventually physical media went away, because it is going away. I mean, it's inevitable. It's just a question of how long it's going to take.
Sure.
The discs are going to go away. Hmm. The disc drives are going to go away. Everything's going to be streaming. And this will be seen as a stepping stone in that direction. Let me ask you this. How do you feel about an all digital future? Will you be comfortable when the time comes that discs just go away?
My life is already all digital. And I'm not being a joker doing the Greg character who hates PC gaming and he doesn't understand physical media. Like, it already is. What's the last game I got on disc was Lego DC Supervillains. And it just sat in my disc drive forever.
Right.
And then I finally ejected it because my PlayStation was making so much noise. I was like, would this fix the problem? No, it didn't. Okay. And now it's back. And like, what'll be the next disc I put into it? I understand we get to live in a different, way than most people in terms of, first off, we're in San Francisco, so the internet is usually pretty good. Kind of funny. Twitch fans know what I'm talking about.
The last game I got on disc was God of War, and that's just because you gave me. I asked you if you could hook me up with a copy, and instead of a code, remember when you gave me the disc, like, I was almost like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Where's my code?
It's
like, it feels antiquated now to have
totally,
a disc.
Totally. And it's that thing of, I think so much of it is a cultural thing. Where when I moved, I grew up in the Midwest, and my dad's attic in the garage is packed with my comic books and toys and Superman collectibles and crap like that I had, right? And then when I moved to San Francisco, like, first off, I was so broke I had to sell most of my comics. And then it was that when I got to a better place, I still didn't have room for that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. The joke's now about, like, the Lego Firehouse and now all these Playmobil toys that I'm getting for my unborn, unconceived children are that they're just going into a closet that's already packed pretty tight. And right. So I'm already running out of room, but it sounds goofy, but in my current living room setup, in the old, back in Columbia and Missouri, but for in the, you know, growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, there was a pride to having my friends over in my parents' basement and then having the bookcase over there that was lined with video games and DVDs right. and stuff.
You want to show off your collection?
Where the fuck would I put any of that in my current two-bedroom apartment? You know what
whenever,
I mean?
Like I tell you, when you really realize this is whenever you have to move house and you got to put all that shit in boxes.
And you're like, why? Why am I? That's when you start throwing things away, right? Like, why am I holding on to this?
The thing that I always point to in terms of thinking about how antiquated it all seems now is, you remember when we used to have racks and racks and racks of CDs in our house. We had our CD, our music CD collection.
Yeah.
Now, no one really has that anymore. Most people don't have that. All your music is on your iPhone or your computer or whatever, or on Spotify.
I don't own anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the idea of like packing up all my, having like a big wall of music CDs seems totally, totally antiquated. I increasingly feel that way about my Blu-ray collection. I don't really buy, like Spider-Verse just came out.
Yeah.
I just bought the digital.
Yeah.
See,
Spider-Verse is the one I'm going to buy. Because
it's such a special movie.
Yeah.
I will get the 4K disc. But that's a special movie. Most of the time now, anything that we want to buy, we just get on digital. I do think you will see some resistance. I think there's a lot of holdouts out there, a lot of old school people that like.
But
several things. Yeah. They like to see the they like to see the rack. They like their wall of games. Especially like the oldies like us that have been doing it that way since, you know, the Nintendo and Sega days.
People's space, you know, here's my gamer's cave or whatever.
They've got their game cave, they've got their big, they've got their gimp room or whatever you want to call it. with all the video games in it. And they also like the idea that they physically own the games. You know, there's always that little bit of anxiety that when you buy something digitally, it might get, you never really own it.
Yep.
It could, what you could, like PT, and we've seen like Amazon sometimes decide to pull books
that
you've already bought. Apple recently pulled some movies from the iTunes store that people had bought, and suddenly they were no longer available because some licensing arrangement had changed. There's always that sense of anxiety that you never truly own it. But to me, that's never affected me.
Yeah.
And that to me is a small price to pay for just getting rid of all. I hate clutter.
Yep.
I don't want a bunch of shit cluttering up my house. And when you have a kid, you have that no matter what. So the last thing I need is like my game collection on top of it. Yeah. So I love just zapping through my collection of games that are all installed on
having
the hard
it all
drive
your fingertips,
and just bouncing around and not having to get up and change. Oh, where's the disc? The disc is not in the box or whatever.
Yeah, right. And then you start playing that game where you start going, you open up and it's like, well, Zelda is in this thing. So then I go to the Zelda case.
Yeah, what does that mean? The Mario Kart disc is. Yeah.
The thing about it for me is, I think you bring up music. And I think that's such a great example / analogy to all this, where I really do believe, and I understand people who want their collector's edition, they want their library, and they want this stuff. I totally get being a collector. If in a different world, if I never left the Midwest, I'd probably still be collecting comics and doing things in a very different way. I feel that, like music, you're going to see the majority of people swing over to being all digital and just that's how it is. And then you're going to still have, though, either the novelty of having I want to buy the physical copy, similar to like people who collect records or, you know, I shouldn't say novelty, but like people who have that for them and they want that collection to continue to go. There'll still be a marketplace for that until, I guess, every box removes a disc drive. But even that, I don't think that's not happening next generation.
You know what I mean?
No. Next generation is going to be... That's why I think the Xbox strategy is so interesting of the rumored Xbox strategy that stems from Brad over at Therod of that. All right, Xbox Scarlet is going to be this... There's going to be a streaming box version, and then there's going to be a big Haas Xbox One X kind of version that has the disc drive and has it. You figure it's just still too early to eliminate all the retail partners because that's where it gets messy of...
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it happens, GameStop's done, right?
Sure. Well, and then it's like, well, what about like when... Okay, cool, Walmart's like, wait, you're not putting games out on discs anymore? We're not going to carry your systems.
Right.
Like that. There is a... There is a weird standoff right now with everybody's guns pointed at each other's head. Well, it's like, you can try to go that way and try to do that, but when you do that, we're not going to carry that. So how are people going to get it? And then it's like, well, Amazon could do it, but then it's a monopoly. And then
so I wonder in the meantime then if this might become the norm that, you know, what? Let's say, for example, that we see Xbox Scarlet and PlayStation 5 when they're announced. Mm-hmm. Maybe the SKUs are disk drive and diskless. And if you want the cheaper diskless version, that just becomes a standard option.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to get all nets out. I want to bring up Parker Petroff. He wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and said, Windows Central's Jez Corden just posted about the Xbox One S All Digital Edition coming in May. I understand everything is moving away from physical media. I would even buy a next-gen console without a disc drive. However, I have one more question. My question is more about timing. What is the point of releasing a brand new edition of the Xbox One when next year new consoles will be releasing? Parker, I think it's their first, not I shouldn't say their first offensive, because I think, you know, what they did with Game Pass and Minecraft and all that adds into it, but it's their next part of the offensive of Xbox, regardless of, okay, maybe you haven't enjoyed their exclusives and they haven't reviewed well and blah, 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 blah. Xbox Game Pass has been a runaway success, and people really dig it. We're about to go into coming up in new dates, a whole bunch of things that are getting added to it. I think there's so many people who have watched that and been like, that's really, really cool. I'll get it one day, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to buy an Xbox for that. I don't want to buy an expensive Xbox just for that, or just for State of Decay or Crackdown or whatever, or, you know, Forza. I think if you can drop this at 150, like if that's crazy low. If you can get it to 100, insane. If you could drop it that cheap and be like, hey, and then for $10 a month or $2 for a year, whatever the crazy deal they've been running lately is, hey, guess what? You also have unlimited games on it. So many people would be like, oh, well, that's great. And then you start to see this move of, except for crazy trophy people like me, all right, cool, my PlayStation is now my machine for my AAA exclusives, these crazy games I can't get anywhere else, but I can go over and with a $160 investment, and this is me spitballing, have unlimited games for whatever, and then it gets them into the Xbox ecosystem. It gets them caring about Xbox Game Pass. It gets them giving their money to Xbox, hopefully forgetting in the same way we all forget about Netflix, just happy to have Xbox Game Pass there. And then when you get to, hey, here it is, Xbox Scarlet. Here it is, Xbox Game Pass on Switch. Here it is. And like, you suddenly have people already invested in the platform, excited about Xbox again from a brand part. They're fixing the brand part of it. As I've said on this show so many times, I find myself cheering for Xbox. I want them to do this. I think they're making so many great moves. They're fascinating to watch. They're doing another thing to get you into the Xbox camp so that when they do have their next big success, when they do say, here's Xbox Scarlet, and let's check in on what our 13 first parties are doing, and they roll out Halo Infinite and all these other crazy-ass games that are exclusive, you're excited.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a smart move from Microsoft. It feels like a bit like a come-from-behind move. If you compare, and that's fine. If you compare Sony, if someone's going to the store right now and they've got to make a decision between Xbox and PlayStation, which console are they going to buy?
Yeah.
PlayStation wins out on a lot of comparative metrics. You know, what's got the bigger and better game library? What's got the more, you know, the more features? It, if you don't include the X and the Pro, then, you know, PlayStation's, you know, arguably slightly more powerful. There's a lot that the PlayStation has to recommend it over the Xbox. But one of the most compelling factors for consumers is always value. It's always price. Sometimes people will get the box that is the cheapest, and that simply becomes the most important thing for them. And right now, the Xbox and the PlayStation are pretty much point for point on price.
Yeah.
But if they can come in and offer a radically cheaper option, I think they'll win. I think they'll get a lot of people that way. And I think you're right that they'll get into the second console market. A lot of PlayStation people that don't really want an Xbox, but maybe do look at Forza and Gears of War and, you know, a handful of other things and go, oh, you know, as much as I don't want an Xbox, I kind of would like to play those games. Maybe this becomes their second console.
And it's also that thing, don't forget how we're lucky enough to be, you know, in this industry. We love it so much. We love video games. And so we're buying the latest and the greatest, and we're, for many intents and purposes, right, beta testing everything for everybody else. A lot of people buy the shit so late and don't care. I'll never forget being at in Missouri, my ex's cousin's birthday party or Christmas or something like that, right? And we were back visiting from San Francisco, so I was already out here, and PlayStation 3 had already been on the market for a while.
Yeah.
And these kids got a PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And flipped the fuck out. And they weren't like kids. They were like 13, 14. It was the idea that like it was finally affordable, because if you remember, this is when they had moved to the George Foreman sliding grill top, right, or whatever. So it was like, here, it's a PlayStation 2 for $100. What do you care? Oh, now it's PS3. No, I'm right. Oh, so it was throw that out. But again, revision on the PS3. PlayStation 2, the top, the foldy up top one, the one that was like almost as big as a deck of cards and just the thing, the you had a top loader.
Yeah.
And they were crazy because it was finally $100 and their parents were like, oh, we'll get you that. Now think if you're in that same boat as a parent, right? Like you want to bring your kids into it or you just want, you've heard a lot of great games, right? All right, cool. For $150, and again, I'm just spitballing that number, we can get the Xbox One and for $10 a month, not to mention it'll probably be bundled in, I don't know for how long, we get Xbox Game Pass and we have Netflix for games. So for $150, I have maybe a year of unlimited games.
Yeah.
That in like, again.
That's a very nice deal. And you got to remember as well, Greg, you and I, people like us, we're very privileged.
Yeah.
You know, and we're used to being on the cutting edge of games. We are men of means. We have money to spend. We have some disposable income. We got to have the latest.
We're just bad with money.
We got to have the latest and greatest. We got to have the PS4.
That's how I think of it more.
Yeah, we're very irresponsible. We've got to have the latest and greatest. We've grown up playing games. We want to have the best systems. We've got the One X. We've got the PlayStation 4 Pro. You got to remember, though, there are plenty of people out there. Many, 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 many people. I'd say the vast majority of people who don't have the money to splash on the latest and greatest, 100%. And are just happy to have a games console.
Yeah,
they know it, to them it doesn't matter. I remember recently, family friends of ours got their kids a Wii U, and they were thrilled to have it.
Sure.
And again, to you and me, you might go, "Well, Wii U is that's old and busted."
Right.
But to these kids, they were thrilled to have it. They didn't like, "Oh, why isn't this a Switch?" They were just thrilled to have a games console.
And that's the thing too. I think you know we talked about reviews and reactions to Anthem and our Anthem reviews and stuff like that. One of the things that had popped out on the subreddit about it was, "Man, you know, I'm thankful that you know Fran and Andy and I don't believe this point, but like this was the writer's point. Fran and Andy still understand what $60 means to us, right? Like, you know, they thought I was being too light on criticism in regards to, oh, well, you know, I got the game for free, so whatever, blah, blah, blah." And I remember what $60 is. That's a different argument. But stick with me in the way that I do understand how much $60 means to people. I do understand that you can't spend $60 over and over again. So again, if you fall into that camp, right, of like, man, $60 is a lot of money, and there's only a few of those you can buy every year, why wouldn't you look at something like Xbox Game Pass and think, holy shit, maybe that is the future?
Well,
I'm jumping to new dates. The next update they announced for Xbox Game Pass, right? March 6th, Just Cause 4, Lego Batman 2, March 6th, F1 2018, March 14th, Fallout 4, March 14th. Like,
those are all good games.
Lego Batman 2 it's like, what, 40 hours, 50 hours to platinum? Fallout 4 to platinum took me a week or something, like more, and I was playing it nonstop. Like, if Just Cause 4, a game Kevin really digs because Just Cause is awesome, like, if you were looking for bang for your buck, if that is the argument you want to make about gaming, like, why
wouldn't
this fall?
It's not mentioned in the story, but I think it would make sense to me if they also want to promote Game Pass, if they were to launch this box with a year's free subscription to Game Pass.
Exactly.
That would be a tremendous,
exactly,
tremendous value.
But I think that what you need to, I think I agree, but that's my argument of, fuck, how can we balance, getting the price low is, I think, the most important, right? I think it's like, if you get it to $149.99, everybody's like, what the fuck? The current gen console. I can play the current gen games on it. Like, are you kidding me?
Yep.
And so if you put in a year of Game Pass and get it closer, get it back to 200, right? Or in, I guess that's not how math works on it, but you know what I mean? It would be like, niche. I want, if I'm Phil Spencer, if I'm Xbox and we're doing this and we're trying to get into everybody's house, the people who have been, oh man, yeah, Xbox is doing a lot of cool stuff, but I'm happy with my PlayStation, I'm happy with my Switch. If we're trying to get into their houses and on the entertainment consoles, I want this thing as cheap as possible. And maybe I do just bundle it with 2 months of Xbox
Game Pass. 3 months of Game Pass just to give people a nibble. Maybe a couple of games pre-installed. I think it's a great idea.
I can't wait, man. I'm so interested. I know I say this at least once a week. So interested.
Can you see Sony replicating this move?
No, because they don't need to. You know what I mean?
Right.
PlayStation 4 is so far and away the winner of consoles this generation. They don't need to do this. And so it gets interesting of, again, Xbox very much not beating their chest because they are in a place of, they are in second place, but being very much like adopting the PlayStation message that got PlayStation 4 to where it was, right? Of like, we're for gamers. We are for gamers. This is a pro gamer move, making this console and getting it to everybody. Xbox Game Pass is a pro gamer move. Us getting these first party studios is us listening to you because you want exclusives, pro gamer. They're making all these moves and being public about it because they can't rest on their laurels and be like, well, look at all the games we have, right? Meanwhile, PlayStation can. PlayStation can sit back and be like, cool, we don't need to redesign the PlayStation 4 and put out a digital version to see, try to capture that market. You know, people write in all the time when I'm talking about Xbox Game Pass, like, you don't talk enough about PlayStation now or how, you know, what they're doing, what they might be doing eventually with PlayStation Plus and this and that. And it's like, it's because they're not talking about it, PlayStation. You hope, you imagine that they've seen this, they've read the wins just like everybody else, and whatever they're doing for PlayStation 5 will be cool. We see all that, and here's why PlayStation Now needs to be a part of your life, and here's how we're bringing in current gen, you know, or not current gen, current, like, you know, timely games. Our first party lineup's going to be like, but PlayStation doesn't need to do that. PlayStation doesn't need to say, hey, you know what? Our first party is going to be, all of our first party games are going to be on PlayStation Now day and date as well. And that's where it just gets weird. And so it's going to be a very, very interesting next-gen console race to see what happens.
But bottom line, I like the idea of this console. Yeah. I think it's a great offering. And I'll be very interested to see how it does. Because, again, you have to... This is the first chance for gamers to be asked the question, are you comfortable saying goodbye to discs? Because that's what you're doing if you pick up this console.
It'll be interesting how big it is, too. I want to know.
You mean just like the form factor?
Yeah. It's going to be like an SNES Mini. Like,
it can be pretty small.
Yeah. Number two, Mortal Kombat 11 has announced more characters. Let's read down the list along with their little bios from Warner Brothers. Cassie Cage, the commander of an elite special forces unit and daughter of the iconic duo Sonya Blade and Johnny Cage, employs her lethal fighting skills to win every battle with a relentless drive to measure up to her parents' legacy. Jackie Briggs, a competitive fighter trained in kickboxing and martial arts, follows in the footsteps of her father, Jax Briggs, as a member of the special forces. She believes her duty is to protect Earthrealm and her family, no matter the risk. Aaron Black is a thrill-seeking outlaw, hooked on the adrenaline of chasing his own pursuits. Black is a skilled crackshot, selling his services to the highest bidder while dressed in classic Western Outworld attire. Cassie Cage, Jackie Briggs, and Aaron Black join the growing roster of playable Mortal Kombat 11 fighters, alongside Scorpion, Raiden, Sub-Zero, Sonya Blade, Scarlet, Baraka, Garrus, I don't know that one, Garrus, Kano, Devorah, Cabal, Jade, and Johnny Cage. Mortal Kombat, of course, is the latest installment of the franchise from NetherRealm Studios. It's going to be available beginning April 23rd for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4 Pro, Xbox One, Xbox One S, Nintendo Switch, and PC. You can pre-order now to get Shao Kahn and the beta. Also, it's worth pointing out that there's a new story trailer out today. I watched it before this. I have not kept up on my Mortal Kombat lore, and apparently there's a time traveling all over this one. Because it's just showing, they gotta go, they're going throughout the time stream to get fighters to fight with them. So you get current Johnny Cage talking to old Johnny Cage, and it's very funny.
Interesting.
Very.
I like it.
Yeah. Do you play Mortal Kombat?
I do. Really? I guess I'm not a big fighting game guy, but if I'm gonna play a fighting game, I like Mortal Kombat.
No, okay.
It's childish, but I like the brutality.
Yeah,
I like it. And you know, going back, it's funny. I was watching a video the other night about, it was a compilation video of like the best most violent games.
Sure.
And the most recent Mortal Kombat 10, was featured, and it showed a bunch of the fatalities that I had not seen before. And I've seen something similar to the 11 fatalities, and you got to hand it to them. The ingenuity of the fatalities are getting.
Ed Boon, such a nice, soft-spoken man to hang out with, and then the games he puts out.
Imagine he's sitting to me and said, "What if you sliced his face off? And then you could see his brains, and then he eats the brains." Like, he's being a 10-year-old kid.
It's,
but I love
Mortal Kombat. I mean, hats off to them for not staying relevant, but actually making the game better and better. You know what I mean? I felt like about the time that, for some reason, at IGN, I reviewed Mortal Kombat versus DC. It seemed like, man, they're kind of running out of gas here, right? And then Injustice and Mortal Kombat and everything else NetherRealm's been able to do. In the fighting game community and the community they have for Mortal Kombat.
I just wish I was better at that. I know that I would enjoy fighting games more if I could play them well.
Sure.
And they, I tried some Injustice too. I'm just not good. I just button mash. I wish I could do combos and fatalities and stuff. I'm just not good.
Yeah.
Sucks. I would enjoy it more if I could do that.
Of course, yeah.
But looking at some of Mortal Kombat 11, it looks absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
And I like what they're doing here with this kind of Super Smash Brothers, in the same way that they rolled out Super Smash Brothers, where there was a different, like, character reveal or something every week. Like,
they
kept... It's a smart way to keep the PR engine running, you know.
Number three and final on the Roper Report for the day. Vivendi has sold back its final Ubisoft stock. This is from Reuters. Media conglomerate Vivendi has sold its remaining shares in video game company Ubisoft, making a capital gain of 22 million euros.
220 million euros.
220 million euros. Vivendi said, what did I say?
22 million.
Thank you very much. Vivendi said on Tuesday that the remaining shares represent a 5.9% stake in Ubisoft. It sold the whole stake for 429 million euros. Quote, Vivendi is no longer a Ubisoft shareholder and maintains its commitment to refrain from purchasing Ubisoft shares for a period of 5 years, Vivendi said in a statement. Vivendi, which already owns Gameloft, a global leader in mobile video games, confirms its intention to continue to strengthen its position in the video game sector, it added. Including this sale, Vivendi has sold 2 billion euros worth of Ubisoft shares and pocketed a capital gain of 1.2 billion euros. I still can't believe it. I remember when this started, Yves Guillemot sounded the klaxon and was like, we need help, we're not going to do this, but we won't go into the night. And I was like, you guys are dead. Vivendi's taking you over. And Ubisoft fought back and did it. And I think really honed in on what a Ubisoft game is. You see things like Rainbow Six Siege, For Honor, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, obviously Division. The list goes on in terms of, now when you say, hey, I'm a Ubisoft, or this is weird to say, like, I think you can say now, oh, I like Ubisoft games. Like, what do you play? Oh, I play a lot of Ubisoft games. And people get that. They're like, oh, I get that. You know what I mean? Because even I finished the Division 2 beta. I was like, all right, I can't wait for this game. I'm going to lose my life to it. I want to play. I'm going to jump into Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And I was like, oh, man, there's the theme here. That I keep going to these Ubisoft games of open world, get better, grind out my gear, go explore these giant open areas.
I gotta say, you know, when you roll them all out like that, I know that we all accept that Ubisoft is one of the big game companies. I mean, they're right up there with EA and Activision.
Yeah, they don't feel like it though, right?
But they don't often feel like it. But when you roll it all out, Far Cry, yeah. Assassin's Creed, Division. What else did you say?
For Honor, Rainbow Six,
Watch Dogs, Rainbow Dogs, Six. Yeah, yeah. When you lay it on that, they have
Rayman, Rabbids.
Rayman and Rabbids, which sell.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
When they actually have a terrific stable of franchises.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, if I had a console company and I had to pick one third party company that would be exclusive to me, I might actually pick Ubisoft. Yeah. Activision got, well, Call of Duty, that's it. That's all they've got. They got nothing else.
Sure.
What's another big Activision thing other than Call of Duty?
Blizzard.
Yeah, okay, but that itself is kind of a separate entity. What comes out under the Activision name that we give a shit about other than Call of Duty? Nothing.
I mean, Overwatch, but that's Blizzard.
No, Blizzard.
Right? Well, it doesn't matter. It's Activision Blizzard.
Activision.
It's like saying, hey, name a brand of Coca-Cola. And I'm like, fucking Cherry Coke. And you're like, well, that's cola. I want a Coke.
Well, Activision has, we're off topic now, but Activision has this habit of like, you know, pinning everything on like one or two franchises and then run them into the ground. They did it with Tony Hawk. They ran that into the ground. They did it with Guitar Hero. They ran that into the ground.
Sure. And they did it with the Marvel game. They had the license for Spider-Man for a long time.
And now, you know, thank God for them, the Call of Duty franchise is showing no signs of fatigue. But I would ask Bobby Kotick, what actually is your plan B if one day Call of Duty just goes, if suddenly people lose interest in Call of Duty, then what? What's their backup plan? They got nothing. Mm. They might as well just call themselves Call of Duty Incorporated, because that's all they are. So they can fuck off.
Sure.
EA.
Sure, fuck off, Activision. Kebabs points out, and you're wrong. Gary, Spyro the Dragon is pretty big.
Really?
What?
That's the fault.
That's the fallback.
That's the
backstop. Kebabs. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We got Spyro the Dragon. Sorry, I'm selling my shares today. EA's obviously got the sports franchises. They've got FIFA, they've got Madden.
Sure, but they're hated.
Right, but they're hated. Yeah. But FIFA makes money.
Sure.
FIFA makes money. Makes a lot of money.
Yeah, well, no,
it might actually be their number one most valuable property, the FIFA license. What else would it be?
I'm thinking. I mean, yeah, Madden, but FIFA's worldwide, right?
And then they've got a bunch of stuff that struggles, as has been well documented on this show. The Star Wars stuff has been a flop.
Anthem. Struggle.
Anthem is killing people's consoles. Like, I mean, those poor bastards can't get a break on Anthem, can they?
Yeah.
The Apex Legends is probably, might actually suddenly become the most valuable property they have.
Yeah.
Is
Apex published by EA?
I mean, it is, isn't
yeah.
it?
Well, it's made by Respawn, who's owned by EA.
Yeah. Right? Of course it's an EA
You're
game.
Right. You're right. Okay, everybody calm down. I just like to fact check once in a while. Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Barrett, go get one of the Far Cry bats and come in and beat me to death, because fuck me for asking a question, you know?
So, Yeah, he's got the sports franchises and really very little else. They've got a bunch of other franchises that, struggle, like Battlefield has struggled. The Star Wars stuff has struggled. What else am I missing? And they've got The Sims, which hasn't done anything in a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, EA and Activision are massive, massive companies held up by what actually looks like very, very weak stables of games. Ubisoft, however, have got a really amazingly strong... You know, all the Tom Clancy stuff, Division, sure. We just went through it all. I mean, you know, Far Cry, Assassin's Creed is huge, you know, and on it goes. I think Ubisoft might actually be, if I had to invest in a company or if I had to make an exclusive deal with a company to put their games on my system, I think I'd go with Ubisoft over Activision or EA.
Yeah, I mean, Ubisoft's done what I always tell our audience, who is not the businesses, obviously, and don't have the corporate shareholders and all this other shit breathing down their throat, they actually do what I always would say I would do, right? Where it was like, hey, Vivendi's is trying to take us over. It is a hostile takeover, blah, blah. And Yves Guillemot got out in front of that and talked about that. And I know that, like, I don't feel like I know Yves Guillemot the way, like, you feel like you know, and I don't even mean me personally, you know, you feel like you know Shuhei Yoshida when he was up there talking on PlayStation stages, right? But Ubisoft's done a great job of making it feel like they are a small publisher full of small developers when in fact they are huge and they're just doing it right in the way of, like, I think, you know, granted it could all be lip service, but from what I've played, I don't think so. And from the interviews I've had with Julian, I don't think so. But like the Division 2 really does seem like, hey, we're trying to be the first games as a service that launches and doesn't fuck it up. We understand, we learned a lot from the Division 1, we turned that around, it was a success story, not that it was ever bad, but we listened to what audience wanted, and we made, you know, an end game they wanted. This game was built all about the end game, and so we're thinking about what you're going to do, and you're going to have, you know, raids, and you're going to have new missions, you're going to have people invade, and you're going to have, like, the way they rattle off what that game is, you really wonder if it comes out and the servers don't lock up and totally crash and fuck everybody. People are going to be like, Amanda, they nailed it here, it feels like. And in the same way you look at Siege and For Honor and these games that came out and they built around, they built a community with. And I think, you know, I'm not at all trying to start a fight here, but it's the way of, I don't know if they're given, I guess it's a different time now. We've seen so many games and services launch, right? Where I feel like Rainbow Six launches, For Honor launches, people play them and they were like, eh, not for me or whatever, and they bounce out and then those communities build around them, right? Whereas now, like, you know, Fallout 76 or Anthem or whatever, these games launch and are content bare and have problems, whether it be bricking a system or enemy AI being garbage, right? And it feels like they take it harder on the chin. But I think, I guess, maybe that's also because there's more expectations. Is it a mix of people, you know, hate EA, so they want to dogpile? Is it a mix of, well, it's Bethesda, we are mad they're making a game that isn't for us? Whereas, like, with a For Honor, did people have really huge expectations for that? Maybe it was a thing you bounced off from and came back from. Division 1, the same thing. A new IP you came to, all right, well, I don't like the end game, and they fix it later on. Right. I just feel like Ubisoft's done a great job of keeping the channels open, which is the thing when we saw Fallout 76 get off the rails, right? What was the problem? Bethesda wasn't speaking to anybody. As we've seen with Anthem getting off the rails, it has been, they've been good about, hey, here's the update we're doing. But like, you know, yesterday there was a thing going around on all social media of like, here's what they showed us about Anthem. Like, it was a montage of, or I'm sorry, it was a, I guess it is a montage. You could have a collage of images that were like, sure, from like, I guess, an E3 demo and stuff with like captions on of like, none of this is in the game. You guys showed it like this is going to be in the game, right? Right. And like, those are the things I think you need a team on immediately to jump on and say, here's what's going on. Even the bricking of the PlayStation 4s, right? You need to be on and, hey, we're on that top of that. And they have opened stuff up, but Ubisoft, I just feel, has done a better job of humanizing their giant corporation to the point where you don't feel like it's a giant corporation.
Yeah, maybe not. Did I see the Anthem crashed your PlayStation?
Yeah, it didn't do that. It didn't, like, this is the thing we were talking about yesterday. I'm not sure how it's crashing versus bricking versus killing, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah, it crashed.
But it's
me.
Like a hard crash where it has to rebuild the hard
totally.
Drive and all
well,
that
no,
stuff.
No, well, that's just, it's like
it
I
does
lost
all
power.
Its hard drive
it's
checks.
Like I lost
yeah.
power.
Yeah.
So, like, but like, you know, rebuilding the database, like, it does take what? A minute and a half.
Right.
It's not like I'm sitting there, but it has one guy with a Call of Duty thing crashed and never came back and crap like that. Who knows? Gary.
Yes.
All I want is the Division. It's all I can think about, but it's still so far away. If I wanted to know what was in shops today, say the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. You're wrong, but isn't you're wrong, and I shouldn't read it because it encourages you guys to put in questions, but I like it. Charles J says, Gary, what about Capcom? ever since Resident Evil 7, they've been incredibly consistent and got a more varied range of games compared to Ubisoft.
I like Capcom, but they don't have a how much stuff do they have?
I don't know if I agree. It's a more varied range of games.
I don't think it's
well,
more
I guess
varied.
Yeah. You know, I guess maybe you're making a point because I'm talking about like well, a Ubisoft game. You know what you're getting into. But like Rainbow Six is first person versus third person division versus Assassin's Creed action RPG. He'd be talking about like what Resident Evil 7, Monster Hunter, Mega Man 11, and now Resident Evil 2. And I'm sure I'm leaving stuff. The Onimusha. Capcom, another one, a different success story.
Yeah.
Where I did remember being like, oh man, Capcom hasn't put out anything that people cared about in forever. They're going to die. And then here they are thriving.
You've been playing Division 2, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You liking it?
Oh, yeah.
I got to find this. I really, really wish you and I were on the same platform.
It's very simple. You don't really have friends on Xbox that play games. You don't really. We are your friends. Who? Will Smith? Test is Will Smith. Get out of here. He's not going
to
play
anything. Guys, they're on the Xbox. I played Division 1 with them.
You think they're
going
to come out of their ivory tower to play games with you for a long
they
time?
They did on Division 1.
Yeah, for one match. They felt sorry for you. You know what I mean? They wanted you to drop some Rogue One spoilers.
As much as I would love to play on your squad, Greg, I'm not getting it on PlayStation. I just can't.
You're
going to
regret this. I think I might regret it.
Why don't you come over to Xbox?
Ha! Please, Gary. Yeah. I already got one platinum. I already earned all my Division rewards. I'm all set. I don't need
to
go.
Okay.
Out today, Crimson Keep on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Undead Horde on PC. I and Me on Xbox One. Overload on Xbox One. Gungrave VR on PC. Bassline Sinker on PC. And then Vignettes on PC and Mac.
Another less than spectacular release day.
Wednesdays, man.
They kill me.
New dates for you. The second console DLC for Bomber Crew is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch on March 12th. It's called USAAF DLC. Farming Simulator 19. Keep farming with the Anderson Group Equipment Pack. It's coming out March 26th. Here's a big one that I think is awesome, and I want to check on something real quick to see if I got a response back. I have not, so I'll read from the press release when I get there. Killer Queen Black. The strategic 8-player arcade action platformer from Liquid Bit and Bumble Bear Games will create a buzz on Xbox One in Q4 2019, launching soon after the previously announced Nintendo Switch and PC releases, landing in Q3 2019. We love Killer Queen. We've talked about this before. There is a party mode up from E3 of us playing Killer Queen Black on the Nintendo Switch. Here's my question, right? The press release I got today, I've pulled this information from. The intro to it said this, though, okay? Players can take... Well, I clicked on something, and now I'm watching a YouTube video. I hate you, press release. Players can take advantage of Killer Queen's Black cross-play functionality to compete against Nintendo Switch and PC players around the world. I followed up with them to say, is it PC and Switch? Because the intro to this was Killer Queen Black, blah, blah, buzzes to Xbox One. This is an Xbox One press release. Buzzes to Xbox One Q4 2019 following Q3 2019 Switch and PC releases. Players can take advantage of Killer Queen's Black's crossplay functionality to compete against Nintendo Switch and PC players around the world. So it is unclear to me if crossplay exists between Xbox One, Switch, and PC. It is for sure Switch and PC. I think they might be saying it's Xbox One. But then the actual press release they gave mentions nothing about crossplay. So it's very confusing if that is about Xbox or if that is about everything. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Feel free to you're wrong me if you have information from somewhere else. Costume Quest. One of my favorite games out of Double Fine of all time. Worth pointing out that it's going to have an Amazon Prime show debuting on March 8th.
That's the first time. And that's what? A couple of days away. That's the first I've heard of it.
I remember
Tim Schafer hasn't said anything about that, has he?
Well,
I haven't seen any tweets from Tim about that.
It was a Tasha game. Tim wants to bury her, I'm sure. You know what I mean? He sickens me. I'm sorry. It's time we call a spade a spade. All right? Bobby Kotick, you know, he's getting voted all the time. People are mad at him. He's saying he's a bad... What about Tim Schafer? Why are we letting Tim Schafer off the hook, ladies and gentlemen, huh?
Tim Schafer.
He's a lovely man.
Tim Schafer.
Don't try to bring up facts in this argument.
Deservedly one of the most reviled men in the gaming business.
Niflheim, the widely praised 2D action RPG, is set to receive a major content update on PC March 11th, and then it's coming to Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Xbox One in spring. Eternity, the Last Unicorn, is out on PC and PS4. Well, I guess that's an out now, not today. My apologies. And then Inside Xbox returns on March 12th as the crew takes fresh looks at Halo, the Master Chief Collection, DayZ, One Piece, World Seeker, and much more.
There was already a Master Chief Collection. Is it just like remastered for Xbox One?
They keep updating it and making it better and better and better. Okay. And there was a rumor today on Reset Era that was actually Brad Sams from Thurrott commenting on something else somewhere, basically hinting that the Master Chief Collection might be coming to PC in a super updated form as well soon, too. And then we had the rumor, of course, where it looked like maybe the PC store for Xbox or Microsoft's PC store was going away and it was just going to all be Xbox Live. Again, Xbox being very aggressive. But right. Those are all rumors. Stay tuned to Kinda Funny Games Daily for the reports. Let's do some reader mail, but first I'll tell you about our sponsors. Up first, it's Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in the sheets. It's time for a bedding upgrade. I love my Brooklinen sheets. You know this. You've seen me take photos of Portillo in them. They are very soft. I have navy blue sheets with a white comforter with navy blue dots. The reason I was able to make it look so good is that you can go and mix and match on the site, click around, and you see how it all looks, and you don't get ugly stuff that way. Brooklinen sheets were named the best of online bedding by Good Housekeeping. They were founded in 2014 by a husband and wife. Their mission was to make five-star hotel quality sheets more affordable and easy to order. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. You can mix and match over 20 colors and patterns for the most comfortable sheets Greg Miller has ever slept on. Wink. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever. Then, time for Headspace, which means I'll put on my meditation voice. Headspace is your guide to health and happiness. In fact, just 10 days of Headspace has been proven to reduce stress and increase happiness. It will teach you the life-changing skills of meditation and mindfulness in just a few minutes a day. Barrett, you've been using Headspace. Tell me about it.
It's great because I need help to sleep. And they've got a specific area in the app where you can listen to things to specifically help you sleep.
Like this podcast?
Yeah. Oh, shush. Yeah. Shush, Gary.
They have very relaxing and calming sounds that you can listen to. I like to listen to the rainy day sounds to help me sleep.
Oh, very nice. Meditation is rooted in tradition and backed by scientific research. 10 days of Headspace increased happiness by 5%, reduced irritability by 27%, and reduced stress by 14%. Guided exercises are here to add a touch of mindfulness to your daily activities like cooking, commuting, eating, and more. Start your journey towards a healthier, happier life by subscribing to Headspace. Sign up now at headspace.com/games to get a free trial month. Sign up online at headspace.com/games for a free trial month and start meditating today. I played Days Gone! And let me tell you, you'll get a full rundown on the Kinda Funny Games.
I did not enjoy that transition at all.
That's how you gotta do it.
I actually was feeling relaxed.
You gotta come out of the blocks, Gary. You know what I mean? God. You gotta hit it like The Rock would hit it, I'd assume. I don't know how to hit blocks.
I saw a bunch of people talking about Days Gone over the last 24 hours. Sure. So I guess the embargo is up and
embargo
people are talking.
Embargo lifted this morning, I guess, 12:01 or whatever. So right. Previews up everywhere. You'll get the full Kinda Funny Games cast preview tomorrow with myself. And I believe Andrea, as she played it as well.
Yeah.
I had a great time. And at Judges Week, I've talked about it before. I went into Judges Week, played like an hour of it there. And it was that thing of like, what is this game? I like Sony Ben. I like zombies. I like Sam Witwer. I don't know. And I played it. I was like, man, this world seems really cool. Open world. You know what I mean? Run around, take the missions, ride your bike, figure it all out. I went in there and I forget how many hours I played, but it was a full afternoon of play. And I'll have it tomorrow. It's in my notes. But without getting too into it, I'm so sold on this game, and it was to the point that I played it, had such a great time, wanted to play more, came home, put back on Assassin's Creed, and what I found about it was like, and I love Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you know that. Mm-hmm. It was literally one of those, oof, man, playing Days Gone, I really didn't think about how beautiful it was. Now playing Odyssey, it's like, oof, they don't look the same. Like, Days Gone's open world is beautiful, and it's diverse.
Are you saying that visually Assassin's Creed Odyessey does not compare favorably to Days Gone?
100%,
because Assassin's Creed Odyessey is gorgeous.
Sure.
Yep. So Days Gone must be really good looking.
Well, it's that thing, I think, when you get down to, again, hey, we're making a game for one platform, and we've been working on it for years. We can make our environments look great. Because that's what I was joked around about, right, where I love photo mode, and so when I'd use photo mode in Assassin's Creed, it was always like, cool, I need to spin the camera and angle out the ugliness, mm-hmm. where, like, Cassandra's foot is resting on nothing.
Right.
And she's killing somebody, and her face is just flat. You know what I mean? Like, that was not the case here. And this has a photo mode, which I was very stoked about. Like I said, I'm going to talk about it. I put up a tweet. Sam Witwer's in it. He's amazing, as you know. Brittany Draper, it turns out, is his girlfriend in it. How do I know? It's her face and her voice, and I know her personally. And I was like, damn, they have an awesome relationship going on in there, which obviously is, like, you've seen from the cutscenes and stuff, like, a jumping off point for the entire
game. What does it compare to? Like, what's the game that it's... You said, oh, it's kind of like this, but with zombies and bikes. What?
I mean, it's Sons of Anarchy meets an open-world zombie game. Really well.
Okay.
Because it's great parts of the it's the openness... It's the openness of the Assassin's Creed Odyssey world without it being as hand-holdy. Because Odyssey always is, right? Like, all right, cool, I'm here. I got to just go to there. I go there, but there's a million other question marks and things around me to do. This one is like, cool, the missions are over there. There's something over there. Ride to them on your bike that you can upgrade and do all these different things to. And, you know, you don't know what you're going to find on the way in terms of, like, I got attacked by a group. I was coming back with some people, and it was like Deacon knew it was a setup, so we got out and there's people to fight and all this jazz. You'll run into hordes, you'll run into zombies. Scavenging is such a big part of it, but it's fun scavenging, you know what I mean? Where it is, I'm going through and doing it, I'm not getting over encumbered. You know, I was very worried about, like, man, the bike has a health gauge, so you have to find parts to fix it when it gets broken or breaking down. And then it's also got a gas gauge, which could sound annoying of having to get gas. It was fun to be driving and be like, ooh, I'm getting 80%, 75%. I bet there's gas in there, and like get out there and creep in. And like, it was very much me going the Greg Miller State of Decay stuff I loved of, I'm going to check off every house. And like, I'm, you know, none of this saves over. It's not carrying my progress, but I was still, I want to go in every one of these houses and find everything. And you're crafting items really quickly and getting out there. It's great. I want to talk about it on Gamescast tomorrow when we record at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Free for everybody on Monday. But I'll bring in two questions here. Borzin 00 says, morning, Greg and Gary. With the preview embargo up for Days Gone, I have a few questions regarding the setting. I never got why the setting was chosen for the game until I traveled to Bend, Oregon, home of Bend Studios, the developer of the game, a few years back, and it just clicked with me that why they would choose this setting. There are large open areas mixed with heavily wooded and mountainous areas that seemed to pop up out of nowhere, and I immediately started picturing zombies and other nefarious people popping out of the tree line and scaring the poop out of me. Since it took me traveling to the Pacific Northwest to get this setting, to get why this setting is made for a zombie game, will this hurt the game before I just took it as another zombie game? Keep up all the good work. No, I don't think you have to worry about people being off-put by being in Bend, Oregon. I think as you see today, again, this is weird, but I think the bar was so low for Days Gone that most of the previews I've seen today, I was reading the Reset Era breakouts, right, are, holy shit, this game's fun. Like, I expected nothing from this game, and it's actually a really good time, and it is. And I know, like, you know, a lot of people have been saying it's basically, I mean, it's not reinventing the wheel. It's an open world AAA game with zombies and stuff, but why am I against that, right? Like, I think the cutscenes look cool. The story, I like Deacon. I liked Sons of Anarchy. So, like, from the opening cutscene, which I won't spoil anything about, and it was very much like, oh, this is, you can totally picture this just being a weird parallel universe to Sons of Anarchy. Like, they were just a normal motorcycle gang, and now they're dealing with all this shit. It's like, that's a neat jumping off point. And sure, I'm into that. And yeah.
I am a little bit zombied out, though, aren't you?
No, of course not. I love zombies.
No?
Yeah.
You just keep playing zombie games all day?
Hell yeah. These guys move quicker. You know, there's the...
So they're not the shambly zombies. They're like 28 days later type zombies?
Yeah, and the horde is like really crazy when it is doing like the World War Z. Like, you have, you know, hundreds chasing you. And you can use them against other people. Like, you can run over there, you know, get their attention, drive them back to the guys you're fighting, and then they'll take out that crap. You can distract them, send them in different ways. There's like evil cultists, like, or not cultists, I guess, but yeah, whatever. Evil factions like roaming around that are super fucked up and run into you early on. It was cool. I really, really liked it.
All right.
Eric Meyer says, my question is specifically for Greg regarding Days Gone. During your time with it, how was the environmental storytelling? With games like The Last of Us and God of War, finding notes and little details about the world before is always my favorite part. And I'm curious how this one stacks up. I think all the environments are super interesting. I didn't run into like an Ishmael story from The Last of Us. You know, do you remember this from...
Vaguely.
At the time, it was so cool of like finding all these different notes from Ishmael and piecing together what happened to him. And even God of War environmental, like, I don't think it's doing it in the same way. It did it in the same way where I would come into rooms and be like, oh man, there's a dude hung himself here and that's happening. Like, there's... I didn't feel, and this is granted, on an afternoon of play, like they were repeating the same tricks over and over again. And like, you are finding recorders there. You know, I went to what was set up as a, I guess like a CDC camp or whatever, like when the outbreak was happening. You're finding recorders there and it's like, fuck, this is serious. It's more the narrative of what Deacon's going through and who he's with that I thought was interesting and the way they spiraled out for it. And, you know, I talked about it with...
Is it a very narratively focused game?
Yeah, I mean, it's all told from his perspective, right? And it is like cutscenes about that and him having flashbacks to make you care about more what's happening here, okay, and why it's happening. Like, yeah, I think that's what they're going for. I do think I leave the door open for there to be a lot of environmental storytelling there. But like in general, just walking in, all what I had said from the E3 judges stuff is what hangs here of like, I still think the star is the environment. Whether it be that this house, what's going on in this house, or I want to investigate that place, or this town looks super lived in, too. Man, there's this mountain I'm going to go up and crazy and look at the, you know, the weather changes, this aspects. How is this all playing? The game's super interesting. I think they're going to...
When's it coming out?
I think they're going to land it. It's coming out April. Okay. April 26th, I think. I think it's my birthday present, but Bear, give me a check.
When I first saw the E3 previews, I was kind of put off by it.
Yeah? But what about it? The zombies?
No. I mean that because I am a little bit zombied out, but also just I remember it was like the a big feature of the trailer that they showed was like one guy strangling another guy to death, and I'm just kind of tired a little bit with the kind of the super grim bleak violence of those kind of worlds. I just find it really cynical, and that put me off. But the more I hear about the actual game being fun, the more I'm inclined to give it a try. Maybe.
Yeah, I think you should. I'm very excited to get more time with it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. Today, Greg, not me, and worse than that, Greg with two G's at the end, which drives me crazy. Needs help on Xbox. His Xbox username is Confused Clarity, all one word. I'm on Xbox, and I am looking for best friends to help me max out the base of operations on The Division in the last week before The Division 2 launches, so that I can feel a sense of satisfaction before moving on to the new game. I never got around to it originally because of a hectic time in my life, and now when I try to do it, I just can't get through alone without getting gunned down and nobody is around to play it. I'm in the UK, but mostly play late evenings and am more often on during the weekends. It'd be great to make new friends wherever they are on this spinning globe of ours.
You know, I might have to do a squad up on this show because I'm going to be, as you said, I'm going to be playing on Xbox.
Yeah.
I have no friends.
Right.
I can't play with you because you're across the street on PlayStation.
Sure.
I got to find a squad. I'm definitely playing Division 2 because I love Division 1.
Sure.
I used to run with a regular squad that I really enjoyed playing with. I maybe they're coming back. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But I got to find a squad that I can play with regularly.
Okay, then. Yeah, we should definitely
I may
do
have
that.
To make you use of your outlet.
You
here.
Could found the kind of funny best friend clan over there. Because we're going to have a million clans, obviously. But you can only have 50
right,
people
yeah.
in them and all this jazz. Like,
right.
ours will be gone in a heartbeat. But
yeah.
if you want to go do the Oi Governor Xbox kind of funny clan.
All the Xbox cast-offs.
It's time for You're Wrong. This is where people who are watching live go to Twitch. No, they go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. On youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Nanobiologist says we missed a release date today. Rainbow Six Siege Year 4 Season 1 DLC Burnt Horizon is out today.
Oh, thank that's you a big much. One.
The Killer Queen Black Steam page, this is from Nanobiologist as well, is advertising it as a cross-platform multiplayer feature of the game. So I guess it is for everywhere. Nanobiologist again says another rumor for the Master Chief Collection is that Halo Reach is coming to the package. It was originally available as backwards compatible, but not an option in the game. Very good. Albob875 says Wario 64 has a deal of the day. Saints Row the Third, the full package on Switch is on pre-order for $40 on Amazon.
Okay.
And then, yeah, that's it. Ladies and gentlemen. This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We love doing it for you. We love you being a part of it. Gary, I'm glad to have you back. Are you here next week?
Yes.
You better be.
I'll be here.
That's Division Week, you know.
I'm excited. I'll be excited to talk
what
to you.
What do I got to do to put a Division on your PlayStation 4? Come on, man. Because I'll be there. You'll have a squad built
in. All honesty, Greg, the number one reason for me to play on PlayStation 4 would be that you and I could play together.
Hell yeah.
Do you have a group of people that you're planning to play
you
with
me?
Yet?
We got all the guys here. Barrett's in. Kevin's in.
Yeah.
I got Scott Lowe down in LA ready to play. I'm going to bring Poe in from Chicago. He's going to be playing.
And they're all on PlayStation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I know that the Xbox One X version is going to be better.
All right. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you. You son of a bitch.